Let's enjoy this ongoing message by Sam Adeyemi.
God is faithful. All right, we continue our discussions on the family. Will you turn with me to Psalm 112? All of us will read together the first three verses. We're reading from Psalm 112, verses 1 to 3. Let's go. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Amen. We'll title this, My Family is Blessed. My family is blessed. See, we've emphasized the fact that the first institution God established to be the foundation for order in the society was the family. And God blessed the family. Because in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, the Bible says, and God blessed them. Not God blessed him, God blessed them. And said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. It was God who said that it is not good for man to be alone. In other words, there are levels of creativity he may not be able to attain to without synergy. We're emphasizing on that on Wednesday when we spoke on family is teamwork. God said that there were potentials that the man would not realize until he had created other beings in his class. I will make him a helper comparable to him. I make another being in his class. So we were expressing the power of synergy and how when two people come together like that, they form a new entity, which the Bible refers to as one flesh. It said the two of them will become one flesh. But that one flesh, you know, has capacity to create things that the individuals could never have created on their own. The man would never be able to produce a baby on his own. The woman would not be able to produce a baby on her own. It's the fusion of the two of them that has the capacity to create a new human being. But that creativity extends beyond just having babies. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, rule over it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves on the earth. So the family is very important to God, and God blesses the family. Like we read concerning the man that is upright, the man who delights greatly in his commandments. God blesses him. The first two services today, I spoke on the topic, me and my house. How Joshua decided to stand for righteousness in his own generation and how God has given us in our generation the responsibility to build God-fearing families. It is very important to God's agenda. But in this service, I want to first of all emphasize on the priority of family and the need for us to prioritize the family. In the arrangement of our value system, we need to value the family and to give the family priority. Very important. I realize that in our day, many things are crowding our spaces, taking our attention and our time, and the family may be going lower on the scale of priorities for many. When we get our priorities right, it is easy for God to bless us. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tried to help us to arrange our priorities. He said, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will put on. After these things, the Gentiles seek, the people who don't know God seek. He said, but for you, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All these other things will be added to you. When you get your priorities right, everything else will fall into place. You get the first thing right, you put first things first, the second, third, fourth, fifth will be able to fall into their own places. The family is very important to God. I found myself struggling to structure time for the family as the weight of responsibility in ministry began to increase. And it was in the first few years of our church, our children were very young, and I used to accept invitations to speak at churches and seminars all over this city. I went all over this city, entered the nooks and crannies of this city. And almost every evening, I would be driving home. I would be driving home past 10 p.m., past 11 p.m. in the night. By the time I got home, the children were asleep. After doing that for some time, I began to feel that something was out of place, because God gave us a conscience. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. God gave us a conscience. I began to sense, I was feeling unfulfilled. Something was out of place. Eventually, I was able to nail it. I said, this is not how I was brought up. When I was growing up in the evening, even though my dad was a businessman, traveled a lot, but most evenings, he was at home. We sat down together. We had conversations together. Cracked a lot of jokes, had a lot of stories, watched TV together. But here I was. I was in home in the evenings. By the time I got home, my children were asleep. The next morning, I would be ready, out, shooting for the office, and then probably drop the older one in the daycare. I was feeling that something was out of place. But when I thought of stopping those invitations, not taking those invitations anymore, then I began to feel guilty. It was like, you would not preach? Would that not be denying the call of God on your life and denying people of the grace of God on your life? What do you want to do? I prayed. The Holy Spirit helped me to resolve it. You know, it was just simple wisdom. I remember that Romans 11:29 says that the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Or like one translation says, God will not change his mind about the people whom he has called. In other words, my calling will not go away forever till I die. I will still have anointing. I will have calling. It won't go away. So I saw then that if Jesus died 30, 40, 50 years, I would still be preaching. But wisdom told me that those kids would not be children forever. It was a short time span, a window of opportunity that I had to invest in them. And I knew once that window was closed, it would be gone forever. I would not be able to reverse or wind back the hand of the clock. When they are children, they're the ones that pursue us for attention. By the time they become teenagers, especially in their late teens, we're the ones that begin to pursue them. Now they have relationships outside the home. They have friends. And the inability to establish that bond, that early bond, creates problems sometimes, because you find out when adulthood comes, you just find out you are unable to bond. You are not close, and that means we're not close. So I stopped the invitations. And as I began to spend more time with the children, I found more fulfillment. Interestingly, the other motivation for the invitation, should I confess, was cash. Most of the income that paid our bills at that time came from those invitations. You know what I discovered? I discovered that when I stopped taking those invitations, spent time at home, I got what money could not buy. I got the fulfillment, and then my income did not go down. Very interesting. If you don't have values, you won't have value. And if you don't have value, you won't attract money. Because money is only a means of exchange of value. If you don't have values, you won't have value. As I got my priorities in place, I found that everything worked out fine. Ministry was doing well. Family too, doing fine. Proximity is the key to intimacy. You can't be close to family members you don't spend time with. Period. If you're going to be intimate with anybody, you need to spend time with that person. The unfortunate thing is that when we are not deliberate about it, family ends up getting leftover time from us. Especially in this fast-paced world that we live in, and especially in our own city. Family gets leftover time. You know, our thinking, our attitude is, look, it's work that you should have resumption time for. As far as family is concerned, I'm coming back home here to sleep. I sleep here. I wake up. We see ourselves. We say good morning. We say good night, you know. And then weekend, we're together. We're fine. It may not work like that. Some people have seen their lives thrown out of balance, and they realized too late, because they were piling the weight on one area of their lives and they didn't know that the enemy had found the opportunity to walk in some other area. And it's usually the family that has the short end of the stick. So we need to be deliberate about prioritizing the family and prioritizing the time that we spend with the family. We need to plan it. I discovered that when people began to chase me, invitations, speaking invitations, and so on, it practically took up all the space in my diary. And then I found out that when I told people, oh no, look, I want to, this day is at home, they said, Madam will understand. It's just once. Okay? Or if I told someone, oh, I need to get home now because I promised I was going to come back at this time, people would say, well, sir, just 15 minutes, just 15 minutes, just 20 minutes. So I saw people didn't want to value family the way I wanted to value my family. And interestingly, I realized if I told someone, I have a very important appointment now, a very important meeting, they would agree. But if I said it was home that I needed to go to, they would want to take some more of my time. So I changed my language to the one they understand. I want to get home in 5 minutes. I tell somebody, I have a very important appointment. Because the appointment with the family is also a very important appointment. We need to prioritize the family and prioritize the time that we invest in the family. Families need to spend time together. Families need to have good conversations. Families need to laugh together. Proverbs 17:22. You know, a merry heart does good like medicine. Scientifically proven. Okay? Laughter is therapeutic. We should laugh at home. Crack jokes over nothing. Crack jokes even over our mistakes. Take the tension and the stress away. For children especially, love spells T-I-M-E, period. for them, loving them is spending time with them. Now, if we live if we have a very busy schedule, then it means that, in fact, there are days or weeks in the course of the year that we block out for the family. Sometimes family holidays are very good. I mean, for us who attend to thousands of people, if not millions, you know, if you add up what we do on the media, the family can feel shortchanged if you can afford so much time for other people and you can't find time for them. It shows where our value system is. When we just got married, I remember then on Sundays after preaching the service, I would then sit down in my office and people would come in one after the other for counseling. You know, looking back now, I find it very, very queer. Very interesting. After preaching and praying and releasing the anointing, then you would have to say the prayer again, one by one, for people who were in the service. Anyways, it was just a few weeks after we got married, and I was doing that in the office. And then somebody had just left my office, then Pastor Nike came in and sat in the chair across the table. So I said, "Hello." "What's going on?" She said, "No, no problem. I need counseling." I said, "Azao." No, she said, I've realized now that it is people who need counseling that you have time for. So I need counseling. I said, "Let's go home." I got the message. I got the message. Listen, your value system is reflected by your allocation of resources. Where your time goes, where your attention goes, where your money goes, will reflect your value system. The family is priority and should be prioritized in the allocation of our time. So, if we go on a holiday, I like it. That for once, no counseling appointments. No, I'm not picking phone calls. I'm not counseling anybody. I can concentrate 100% on the family. They can see me. You know, part of the challenges we have in our city here is that there are some people who cannot be seen at home from morning till night, a whole day, for practically 1 year. It's a breakthrough. The day they wake up, see you in the morning, afternoon, till evening. Now, we need to deliberately create those days. Family is important, sir. Family is important. Whatever it is we're chasing out there, the way God sees it, charity begins at home. You read 1 Timothy chapter 3. Paul the Apostle states there the qualifications for anyone who wants to serve in the church as an overseer or a deacon. And he said that he's got to be ruling his house well. He's got to have his children, you know, in order. He said there that if someone cannot rule his own house well, how will he be able to rule the house of God? That's about leadership. In other words, the way God structured it, it's home first. We can't put public success ahead of private success. See, when the fire falls outside, it's that family you will have to bounce on at the end of the day. And you must remember, investment is the key to achievement. If you have not made input, when it's time to make withdrawals, your check will bounce. Let's spend time with our families. And in spending time, one important thing that we do in the family is making memories. Memories last forever. It's one of the greatest gifts we can give our children, that we have those special occasions, those special events, that we take those photos, that we shoot those videos, that we can be looking back on, that when the family gets together, we can refer back to those experiences that we had together. They are priceless, and they last forever. They're more valuable than all the money we want to make out there. As we structure and get our priorities right, one thing is certain. We'll begin to see God's blessings manifest in our families. Amen. Amen. That takes me back to Psalm 112. I'll read again the first three verses. It says, "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed." Verse 3 says, "Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever." See, God did not design for us to pursue blessings. He designed for blessings to pursue us. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'm not the one to be following goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy are to follow me. Okay? Deuteronomy 28, verse 2. "And all these blessings shall come after you and overtake you in the land of the living." Proverbs 23, verse 4. Solomon said, "Do not labor to be rich." It is, in God's economy, we're not supposed to wear ourselves out, throw our lives out of balance in the pursuit of money and breakthrough. When we get our values right, we put God first, we value his word, the blessings will come. 1 year of favor, like someone said, will produce more than you will get with 1,000 days of labor. It's the blessing of God that counts. What's the manifestation or proof of blessing? You make your normal effort, you get outstanding results. Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he do what? Meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." The blessing of the Lord makes rich and heart no sorrow. God doesn't want one area of your life walking and all the other areas crumbling down. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and heart no sorrow. He doesn't want you getting money and your health is breaking down. He doesn't want you breaking through in your career and your family is going into pieces. That's not the way God blesses. "You have prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil. My cup runs over." Hallelujah. God's blessing is not the kind that, oh, your life is shining now and then everything is crumbling in some other area. No, it doesn't work that way with God. When we have the priorities right, the wealth and riches are coming. Amen? Amen. We put God first. And then we prioritize the family. Listen to me. When you have to make decisions and you have to make choices between two things that are right, that's when your value system kicks in. It's not always that you have to choose between right and wrong. Sometimes you need to choose between right and right. Is it right to go to work? Yes. Is it right to go for your daughter's PTA meeting in school? Yes. Is it right to go make some more money? Yes. Is it right to go for inter-house sports? Yes. When you have to choose between two right things, that's when your value system kicks in. Because what is more valuable to you is what will take priority. But listen, if you get your priorities in alignment with God's will and purposes, material and financial blessing are a normal part of your inheritance. He said in verse 3 of Psalm 112, "Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever." Amen. I see God doing something new with us. He will use you to lay a new foundation for your family. He will use you to lay the new foundation for a new generation. He is starting a new lineage with you. That's what he did with Abraham. Come out from the old system. And he said, I will make of you a great nation. He said, I will bless you and I will make your name great. In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. I prophesy over you today in the name of Jesus Christ that by the blood of the covenant, you are disconnected from everything that is idolatrous about your family. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham may come upon the Gentiles, that they may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Receive the blessing of Abraham. Amen. In practical manifestation. Amen. I declare that you have a heritage of greatness. The next 10 generations in your lineage, they will not find a mediocre. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the spirit of excellence will operate with ease. Amen. Some men were crying in Malachi chapter 2. God, why have we prayed and fasted? You didn't hear us. He said, the reason is because you have dealt treacherously with the wife of your youth. Malachi chapter 2. He said, that's why I'm not answering. Some people don't realize it's having direct effect. But I'm prophesying here right now that the days of suffering the consequences of wrong actions are over. Amen. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. I prophesy in the name of Jesus Christ. Every familiar spirit, anyone who has a familiar spirit hanging around them, those spirits that are sent to reproduce in each generation in a family, the same problems. Premature death, failure, poverty, stagnation. I'm declaring now, every familiar spirit is cast out in the name of Jesus Christ. I draw the bloodline around your life. When Satan gets there, he will not be able to move any further. Whatever curse has been manifesting, it is paralyzed. I release on you the power of blessing and grace for greatness in the name of Jesus. Someone has been struggling, financially struggling. I did before, but I broke the backbone of poverty because I knew it was a covenant thing and it came down through the family. I broke the backbone because I knew I now belong to a new family and it's the family of God. I got a new ancestry, the ancestry of blessing. I prophesy here now in the name of Jesus. The curse of poverty is broken. Whatever you may have lost in your career, in your finances, I prophesy restoration now. In the name of Jesus. Receive the spirit of wisdom. The same action that one person takes gets 10,000, another one takes gets 10 million. It's the blessing of God that counts. God knows where your wealth is. I prophesy in the name of Jesus Christ that you have access to wisdom. Amen. You will know what to do. Amen. Whatever the shortcoming may have been, it may be lack of education, it may be lack of connection, when the grace of God comes in, all those things don't count anymore. God can break beyond those limitations. Amen. I prophesy now, supernatural promotion. Amen. God appoints kings. He removes kings. There's always distribution and redistribution of wealth and positions. I prophesy now in the name of Jesus, a redistribution. Amen. This one will be in your favor. Amen. If it's a job that you need, I create the vacancy now. In the name of Jesus, I create your letter of employment now. In the name of Jesus, anything that belongs to you that Satan stole, the hold of the devil over it is destroyed. Angels, take control of those resources and bring them into your life. Good news is coming. That letter has to come in. A phone call will have to come in. Someone will have to remember you for good. In the mighty name of Jesus. If anyone ever spoke a word, whether you were alive or not, whether you were born yet or not, if anyone ever spoke a word that has created a limitation around your life, I stand as a messenger of the covenant to dissolve that word. In the name of Jesus Christ. No one can curse him whom God has blessed. When he has blessed, nobody can reverse it. I declare you are uncursable. You cannot be cursed. In the name of Jesus Christ. As you go with a new level of spiritual authority. And I prophesy that the power of blessing rests on your family. There are families under siege. Because Satan wants something to go wrong from there. And some people are not aware. They don't realize God has a stake in that family. Satan has a stake. As soon as God formed Adam's family, Satan showed up. He spoke to Eve, got them thrown out of the garden. As soon as they had children, Satan came in there again, moved the firstborn to kill the second one. Murder started from the family, from the first one. Satan hates families, sir. Some families are under siege, but some people are so ignorant, they don't realize it is Satan. They are busy fighting, quarreling among themselves, and creating disaffection. But today is a day of restoration. Every battle set in array against your family destiny, today I declare, wherever those groups of people are, whatever that association is, wherever Satan's position is to launch missiles into your marriage, the fire of God will rain down on that position in the name of Jesus. Every fiery dart shot against you, we break them into pieces. The Bible says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I declare today a day of victory. As you go, tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. The Bible says nothing shall by any means hurt you. Whatever Satan stole from you, take it back. In the name of Jesus. You have a portion in this city, in this nation, on a global dimension. But Jesus said, when a strong man keeps his palace, guards his palace, and watches over his goods, he says nobody can take his good from him. But when a stronger than he comes, he dispossesses him of his weapons and then spoils his goods. As you go in victory. Displace territorial spirits. Take over new territories. I prophesy enlargement to your life. I prophesy into your home supernatural peace, supernatural joy, unusual favor, a season of promotion in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Someone said a powerful amen. Can I pray a short prayer for that honest person in this service who will say, Pastor Sam, my relationship with God is not okay. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin is the big problem between us and God. The good news also is that God solved that problem ahead for you and I. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. When we ask him to forgive us, he does. Then he destroys the nature of sin from our hearts. That's the big miracle. He puts his own nature in us. That nature gives us the capacity to do what is right. If you're that honest person in this service, can I ask you, whether you are here or in the overflow, you want us to pray together for forgiveness of sins. Can you please put your hand on your heart? Pastor Simon, my lifestyle is not right with God. I want God to forgive me my sins. Can you put your hand on your heart? I want to say a short prayer with you. Perhaps you've been a Christian before, but you have backslidden into sin. If you die today, God forbid, or if Jesus comes back today, you're not absolutely certain you will make heaven. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. Can you also put your hand on your heart, please? I'd like to pray with you. A short prayer. God bless you for your honesty. God bless you. Don't miss this chance. Please say this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. And I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. In Jesus' name, let me pray for you. Lord, we know that you love our brothers who are standing and that you've heard their prayers, that their sins are forgiven, and that the power of sin and the power of Satan is destroyed over their lives. We thank you for this miracle of change. In Jesus' name, amen.